Thank you, microdose.com. That's all I have to say right now. I have been traveling so much, planes, cars, like long, long drives. My body hurts, you know, sleeping in different beds, in different hotels, you know, everything's kind of screwy. And thank you, microdose.com. I know you've heard the word microdose before, but this is microdosing THC. And microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And you deserve to feel good. You can go to their website, microdose.com, and learn all about microdosing THC. But I'm telling you, it is amazing. They have all different strains that help with all different issues. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of her with her order from microdose.com saying thank you. I'm telling you, a lot of people do this, all sorts of people. And they do it to feel healthier. They do it to perform better. They do it to focus. They do it to sleep. They do it for pain. They do it for relaxation. It really helps your mind and body be at peace. So really check it out. Microdose.com is amazing. And the product, they taste delicious, number one. But the product is so damn good. And you deserve to feel better. So what are you going to do? You're going to go to microdose.com. If you don't already know, you're going to learn about microdosing THC. And when you get there, you're going to get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Promo code Judy Gold. It is available nationwide. That is microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, for 30% off and free shipping. That is a lot, 30% off. And the stuff is amazing. I'm telling you, microdose.com, promo code Judy Gold. You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. Let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Hi, it's me, and welcome to Kill Me Now. Now, this is an extra, extra special episode of Kill Me Now. I'm calling this our Pride episode because one of my closest gays is our guest, but also I bought podcasting equipment so wherever I go, I can record a podcast. And this is the first time. Okay, so here was the deal. We're in my kitchen. And I could either turn the air conditioning off and open the windows, but I'm telling you right now, it is so fucking loud with the fucking sirens. So we're not doing that. Instead, we're sitting at the kitchen table. I'm just going to give you, my guest is here, who I will announce in a minute. Ben is here. And my guest's lover and dog, Lucy, is here. And Lucy is the fucking cutest thing. And this is why I love doing my podcast in my kitchen. I have to get my bell. Hold on. Pause it. Okay, so since our guest is a member of the tribe, that was the first time I used the Jew bell on my new equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so happy to have here as my guest on Kill Me Now today, the one, the only gay, Eddie Sarfati.
Hello, hello, hello. Ding, 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 ding.
Wait, now, Eddie, I watched a video of you. And if you don't know Eddie wrote the book Mental. He's written, it's a bunch of essays. He's in the book, When I Knew. He is a comedian, writer. He teaches. You're a professor.
A professor. An adjunct, they call it.
Yeah.
So they can pay you nothing.
He has adjunct. That's why. Anyway, but Eddie, I've known for a long time. And our mutual BF, Bob Smith, who I mention often.
Now he's our mutual DF.
And now he's our mutual DF, dead friend. We miss you, Bob, and we're dedicating our Pride episode to the unbelievable memory and the incredible person. A memory's not really unbelievable, is it?
No, that was bad. We're dedicating this podcast to the memory of Bob Smith.
Yes.
So, or as my kids called him, Uncle Bob. And as I called him, Faggot.
Faggot.
Okay?
Because
we say that. I actually called him Faggy. I'd be like, hi, Faggy. Which now you can't say, as you know, because...
Well, you could
is,
say it. It's your podcast.
Right. So for all you politically correct people, sorry. I'm not sorry. That's how I talk. I'm not sorry. Anyway, Eddie, welcome to Kill Me Now.
Thanks for having me.
I've been dying to have you on, but I wanted to have you on for Pride. Because you're gay, and you've been out
I'm
for a long
so
time.
I'm so gay.
Your book, Mental Funny in the Head, is on its third printing?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since it printed.
Okay,
time,
it doesn't matter, Eddie.
All right,
yeah,
all
stop
right.
Stop putting yourself down.
I will not. I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I'm a good person.
So, Eddie, you grew up on Long Island.
I did.
What part of Long Island?
I grew up in Commack, Long Island.
And that is where Julie Halston, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie O'Donnell was a senior in high school when I was a freshman.
No way.
Yeah, she was.
She's part Jewish, I've decided. Wait, so you went to high school with Rose?
But I didn't know her. I mean, I knew she was.
Was she popular?
She was popular. She was the homecoming queen.
Okay. See, that's where, like, I know she had it tough. You know, her mother died when she was 13, and she's had horrible issues with her, you know, family and her father. But she was home. Like, I talk a lot about high school because it was so brutal. But she is kind of the homecoming queen. You know, like, she is popular. She's a popular person.
But she's not, like, when you... The picture that first comes to your mind when you say homecoming queen.
Right. You don't think of Roe. That's why I'm telling you she transcends everything.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. So you grew up in Long Island. You have a brother.
I have a brother. He's 4 years, 4 months, and 4 days older.
And that would be the number four people.
Yes.
And your brother's also a Jew.
My brother's a Jew,
and
although he's kind of anti-Jew.
Why?
Yeah, he just... He doesn't all the religious stuff he thinks is just crazy and ridiculous and I don't know, he couldn't wait to get away from Jewish girls in New York.
So then
he ended up marrying a Jewish girl from Paramus, New Jersey.
Oh.
He went halfway across the country
That's very different. Paramus versus Long Island. You are the youngest child. What did your father do for a living? Since I couldn't find that anywhere.
Oh, yeah, because he's not really well represented on the internet.
Right, I know.
He was a garment cutter.
Okay, what was his name?
Morris.
Morris?
But they called him Mike. His family called him Morris, but other people called him Mike.
Why? Because he wanted to assimilate?
I don't
know. It wasn't good enough to be Morris Orphany? He had to be Mike's Orphany? That's not very nice.
But he hurt his back at work when we were small, and then he became a draftsman. You know, they're doing schematics and stuff.
He worked
for Grumman Aerospace, and
right.
he worked for Chiron, the company that makes the letters go across
right.
the bottom of your TV screen.
Yeah. So did you, how did he hurt his back? What was he doing?
I don't know. He was lifting something at the garment factory.
Now, as a Jew working at the garment factory, see, this is why we don't have the window open.
Yeah.
So if you're complaining about the air conditioning, too fucking bad. Anyway, so he's doing manual labor.
Well, it was a garment cutter. He cut the patterns out and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't remember him ever doing that. It was probably before I was born, even.
Where did he grow up? With the fucking ice in the glass.
Sorry.
God damn it.
God, that and the sirens.
where did he grow up?
My father's from the Bronx.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
And where did the family come over from?
They came from Salonika in Greece.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's why it's Sarfati, because you're Sephardic and you're Hebrew.
It actually means Frenchman.
Really? Are
you
French? Did you get your DNA done?
No, I haven't gotten my DNA done.
I would have.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. And then your mother, where'd she grow up?
My mother grew up in Brooklyn.
So, and
in Bushwick.
And... religious, either of them?
My mother's mother came from an Orthodox family who immigrated from Russia to Montreal.
Right.
And then she came to New York and married this big Irishman.
Your mother?
No, my grandmother.
Oh, all right.
Who, I, you know, I'm pretty sure he got her pregnant. And they got married, and he had to convert. And he
wow.
had to be circumcised when he was
so
like 21
part
years
Irish?
Old. A quarter.
Are you fucking kidding me? There is no Irish in you. What's, do you see anything Irish about yourself?
No, just the sun burning.
Wow, I know. Can you talk in the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, that's
yeah.
good.
Okay, better?
Yeah, that's good. So, all right, so...
So, yeah.
I just can't believe you have non-Jew blood in you.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know any. I don't know anybody in that
so you
part
have
of the family.
Irish, right, but you have Irish people... running around who were
yeah he had a big family and my mother hadn't seen our cousin since she was like a teenager
uh-huh.
and apparently my grandfather he didn't want any of his brothers or sisters at his funeral because he didn't want them to know that he converted
Are
so
you
I have
me?
No idea
did
I mean,
he get buried in a Jewish cemetery
yeah
wow did, was he into it or was he like
I don't know I mean it seemed like probably did it just to you know please my grandmother's
right,
parents.
Right, right. Wow.
I never knew him, though. He
but
died the year before I was born.
Did your mother grow up religious? Or
my mother grew up, they would go to Montreal to my grandmother's family
right.
for all the holidays.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, when we were kids, we belonged to a Reformed temple,
uh-huh.
Jew.
Okay,
and
and
I had the you know my father didn't really like organized religion
right
and
well, because so many people do
yeah
you know? yeah
and so we had bar mitzvahs
right
and you know but it was
but do you feel Jewy and your comedy's Jewy
yeah I mean culturally
yeah
you know
and your mother's Jewy.
Yes.
She's
well she's from Long Island
right
we live grew on Long Island yeah
okay so you grew up on Long Island. What, big house, little house?
No, little house.
House.
My parents didn't make a lot of money.
And you also have mentioned that you were the only Jew in the school? Is
no,
true?
When we first moved onto our street,
okay,
we were the only Jewish family on our street.
Right.
And we lived, you know, there was just my brother and I and all the houses around, like the people next door had 11 children, the people across the street
no
had
way.
8 children, the people across the street had like 6 children. And so...
So it was a Catholic...
Yeah, it
yes.
was all Irish and Italian.
Right.
And there were some other Jews in the neighborhood, but when we were kids, the other kids would, like, call us, you know, Jew boy and throw pennies at
really?
Us.
Really? That's horrible.
I know, it was horrible. And it's true.
Did your see, my mother would have gone over there to the other and said, your son is throwing pennies at my son, and I am calling the police.
My mother was yeah. like, well, what are you, a Rockefeller? You can afford
yeah.
to leave money lying on the floor. Go pick
yeah,
it up.
Right.
And to this day, whenever I see a penny on the floor.
You pick it up?
Yeah, I'm like.
I only pick it up if it's heads up, because that's supposed to be good luck. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I can't bend. I can't bend today. My back hurts. I'm done picking up. All right, so. You go to public school.
I went
and
to
you're
public
smart.
School. I'm fairly intelligent, yes.
Okay. And when did you get fat?
I was fat from second grade on.
Uh-huh.
And then I went on a diet when I was, my mother and aunt had been, you know, had always had like, you know, they were never like enormously fat, but they always
right.
like were chunky. And they had tried the Dr. Atkins diet.
Oh, yeah, the Atkins, yeah.
And the book
was
the
good.
Dr. Atkins Diet
right.
Revolution. And
right.
I don't know, I found, I mean, I put myself on. I didn't tell
right.
anyone. Although I was eating like 12 pieces of chicken at
right,
dinner
right,
and
right.
no nothing else.
And no carbs
right.
or anything, right?
And I lost like 40 pounds. And
you did?
Yeah.
How fat? How old were you at this point?
Like 14.
Okay. We can't go from, you know, second grade to 14.
No, but I was like, fat until
so
I was, I mean, I was fat at my bar mitzvah.
Okay. So you're fat and is your mother saying you're fat? Like, because I was, all right, my grandmother.
My mother was not, like she understood... She understood, you know, that it was hard to be
right.
to be heavy. But she also was like, I remember her being impatient with me, trying to, you know, get pants on me at the store. She goes, oh, if you weren't so fat, this would be so much easier.
Oh, that's nice.
That was awful.
Was your brother fat?
No, he always got the slim boys
right,
fit.
Right, right. And was he popular and
no, he's
and,
like nerdy.
Okay.
He, you know, he was in marching band.
Right.
He you know, he had like a group of like six friends who were all
right.
guys who were all like super, you know, science club and
right, right,
all that
right.
kind
nerd,
of thing.
Nerd. Okay, so my grandmother, for my 16th birthday, gave me this book called The Woman Doctor's Diet for Teenage Girls. Thank you. Thank you. I was big, and I was, you know, I was always tall, and I was skinny, but then I got a little chunky,
yeah,
and then I got skinny again, and now I'm a fat fuck from fucking antidepressants. Okay, so...
I know, I was in great shape for years and years. I worked at the gym, I was a gym instructor,
right,
and then in the last, like, 7, 8 years, I never thought I'd be chunky again.
Right.
It's not good.
It's our age.
I love our new sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. It is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers, of which I am one of them. They have everything you want, really, seriously, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. And I know you're thinking, Judy, you live in an apartment in New York City. What's with the fast-growing trees? Well, let me tell you something. You don't need to have a yard or a lot of space. You can grow lemon, avocado, olive, or fig trees inside your home. And guess what I have? A fig tree in my office, and I fucking love it. I love it. Hi, Avi. His name is Avi, and I love him. And he brightens up. It makes me so happy. And I talk to him. Okay, I know I'm going overboard, but having plant life in your house is so comforting. And I love fast-growing trees. Thank you for this beautiful fig tree. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They offer free plant consultation forever. Okay, and I just got a new pot for Avi, so I'm going to be calling them and asking them the correct way to put it in there. You will find the perfect thing for your climate, for your space, for your aesthetic needs. It's great. I love it. I have a plant, and it's so, I'm telling you, it has made me much happier, and you know how happy I am. Anyway, this spring, which is, you know, it is the growing season. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout, JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
You are just normal. Do you go to Hebrew school? Are you
I went
popular?
To Hebrew school and the bar mitzvah.
Funny? Did you have a lot of kids at your bar mitzvah?
I did have a lot of kids at my bar mitzvah.
You did?
I went to, when I was 9, my parents sent me to a summer camp for the creative and performing arts.
I'm going to give
that. That is such a Jewy thing because it was part of it was underwritten by the Board of Jewish Philanthropies.
Okay.
And it was like a wonder. It was an amazing experience,
right,
because it was like all the teachers were professionals from New York, from the New York Ballet and the Philharmonic,
and
everything.
Right.
And
where was the camp?
It was in Wyandanch or Wheatley Heights, New York.
Okay.
It was called USDAN, and I went there for 8 summers, and I made friends that I'm still friends with.
Really?
To
so
this
how
day.
Old were you when you went?
I went there from first summer I was 9, and I just loved it.
You slept there?
No, it wasn't sleepaway.
Oh.
It was sort of like it's in a beautiful setting with woods and everything, but it was like
so you get
it
on
was,
a bus.
Yeah. But it was sort of like a school schedule there.
Right.
Like you'd like have a major and a minor,
right,
and you'd be like major
and
in choir
it.
And minor in painting,
right,
or something. Oh, it was great.
And how many of the boys were gay, do you think? Percentage-wise.
I don't know. I mean, but there were a bunch of them that, you know, I was never gay. I was never out there.
Right.
Although I went back there the year after I was my last year because they were putting on a show. And I met this guy there. And it was the first boy that I kissed. We went off into the woods.
Wait, how old were you?
Like 17.
You were 17 when you first kissed a boy? You're late bloomer.
I know. Well, you know.
Right.
And
was
but
like,
I saw
him. Like, oh
no,
my God.
No, I ran into him like 3 years ago, and now I see him all the time.
No way.
Yeah.
Are you still attracted to him?
He's an attractive guy.
Whatever.
I'm not like, you know, I'm not looking to drag him into the woods again.
Okay. So, since we're doing Pride.
We're doing Pride.
You know, I often say that I knew I was gay, like, when I was three, but I didn't know what it was until I was an adolescent.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, that's why I always feel weird and I don't want to, you know, play with dolls. And, you know, I want to play with the cars. I want to mow the lawn, you know.
Yeah.
And I love, you know, my teacher or this one.
Right, right.
But you really don't know. So when...
Oh, I knew.
Yeah, I knew too.
I knew when I was like four.
Yeah, so you know when you're very little, but you don't know what it is.
No, I knew what it was.
Really?
I remember... My father and uncle, we went into the locker room at this pool club, and I was fascinated.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, you know, we went to the Jewish Y. So when I went in the locker
the
room,
why?
Yeah, the why me?
The why
we
not?
Went to the why me. Oh, I forgot to do the bell. All right. So anyway, we went to the Jewish Y, right?
Yeah.
And I'd go in the locker room. It was like, you know, women whose tits were on the fucking floor,
right?
On the floor. Because, and
like the senior center.
Yeah, it was just old Jewish women. Ben is looking at me because he ordered food in, and Who are these people? Okay, whatever. No, he didn't call, Ben.
I'm just saying.
Okay, this is the hazard of recording. Ben ordered food from where?
Lenwich.
He just went to the gym. He stares at himself in the mirror. And did you tip him?
How weird is that?
What?
That I just said it.
So Ben is fascinated. Ben, by the way, Jewish, just said, oh, do you think, you know, check your phone to see if the guy called from downstairs. And then 2 seconds later,
the guy was there.
So this is what the beauty of recording. Okay, Ben, stop with the paper.
It'd be nice when other
annoying
people, like the exterminator
yeah.
would show up next.
So,
So I knew when I was
yeah.
four.
Right.
And I remember, you know, I was always...
You know, looking at the penises.
Attractive.
When you were, would you look at their penis and balls?
I didn't really get to see that, except like I'd be in the locker room, you know, on those occasions.
Right.
But I remember looking at boys' bodies and thinking like, oh, you know, their musculature
right.
and you know stuff. Like, yeah, always.
And did you want to touch it or?
Yeah, I wanted to touch it.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm saying this in front of Ben. Did
well, he,
you want to touch it?
Well, I think he kind of...
Ben, did you always know you were straight?
Yeah.
Or did you ever... I always wonder, like, if children of gays are like, oh, I wonder if I'm gay. No?
No.
Fuck. Both of them are straight. It's so fucking annoying. Anyway, so... but I do
you
call...
You do the best you can.
I know. But I do call them, and I'm like... About once a week, and I'm like, you sure you're not gay? And they're like, yeah. So, and they smell, and they're guys. Anyway, the point is that we are born this way.
Yeah.
This is who we are. Now, you knew you couldn't tell anyone.
I remember reading when I was like 11. I had this Uncle Herman who was wild.
Yeah,
him,
yeah.
Him and Aunt Sissy were like, they were my father's stepsister and
right.
her husband, and she had leather pants, and they were, like, very cool in the 70s. And he always had dirty magazines.
Right.
And he rode a motorcycle, and she rode a motorcycle.
Wow.
And then when all the kids...
And they were Jews?
Yeah. And then when all
okay.
the kids got to their, like, 18th birthday, they all got motorcycles, and they would go on...
No way. And these are Jews?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they... he had given my father a stack of
right.
Playboys. I mean, I remember reading in them, and there was one article about gay sex in it. And I remember reading it to be fascinated. And
right.
I was like, and it was sort of like, oh my God, this is so great. So great. And, you know, I would like totally be into it. And then it was fine. And then at some point I remember thinking, oh, I can never tell anyone about this.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
What is that we know?
Well, it's like safety.
Right. I mean, it's just that, you know, I just wonder, you know, how we instinctively knew it was like criminal in our
well,
heads.
Well, I think
you know?
You know, you hear things when you're kids, like
right.
like you know, and not even necessarily so overt, just
right.
things that people say in passing.
Right.
I mean, that's like one of the things. I didn't really being Jewish at the you know on Long Island. I remember having a teacher in Hebrew school say, like, a homophobic thing.
No way.
And I remember people saying racist things, and I remember thinking, this doesn't sound like religion. This is really fucked up. And so I always never felt like...
I don't remember... Like, that's the weird thing. I don't remember... Especially for my parents. You know, they would never say... They never said, like, racist...
Well, I remember... I never heard a racist thing in my parents' house.
Right.
Never. And I know that if I would have ever said anything, I would have gotten smacked. So, but in our neighborhood, there were, quite
total.
A few people.
Well, we used to get swastikas and, you know, because we moved into this town in New Jersey. No black people.
Yeah.
And then when the Jews started moving in... you know, they had a KKK. They
oh, my God.
Crosses,
it's so crazy.
And that's fucking mental. Okay. So you're going through school. What were your extracurricular activities? Did you have a lot of friends?
I did have. I did.
School?
Like,
yeah.
I got, you know, after I was away, I became.
So up until you were fat, 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 did you have friends during? Well, you said you had a lot of people at your bar mitzvah.
Yeah, because a lot of them were from.
Your Hebrew school.
From the
play.
Summer camp.
Oh, all right.
I'm friends with people to this day.
Right.
But then in high school, I made a lot of friends, and I was the class president in my senior year.
No way.
I know, it's like so funny to me now.
Wow, so
but
you
I was
ran
in the
campaign and everything?
Yeah, I guess I must have, because I can't really remember.
So you were like Pete Buttigieg.
Yes, I was like
Pete
Buttigieg. I was Pete, that's hilarious.
Okay, so...
And I was in the musical and the plays,
so
and I was on the yearbook and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right. So you were very active, plus you had good grades. So then you go to Vassar.
Right.
And you think you want to be an actor. Like, you always wanted to be an actor.
I thought I always wanted to be an actor because I had such good experiences. I mean, it totally was a change. And I was my parents are very, very smart people.
Right.
But they both had very questionable self-esteem.
Right. Which is why, did your mother work?
My mother worked after we got old enough.
Did she go to college?
No. My father obviously, like now it's clear that he had a learning disability.
Really?
Because, but at that time they didn't know what that
right,
was.
Right,
they,
right.
you know, they, and what kind of, you know, perception of yourself can you have if you're trying really hard and you're not doing it, getting
especially during that era.
Yeah, so he always thought he wasn't smart. Mm-hmm. You know, but looking back, I mean, he could never spell things. He always had trouble with
so he was probably dyslexic.
Yeah, but he was very smart. He was a very good artist.
Right.
But he never felt like anything he did was good enough. And
do you think his parents helped in that situation?
Well, he grew up, his mother died when he was 3.
Ugh.
And they were very poor.
Right.
And at one time, my grandfather had to put him in an orphanage because he couldn't take care of him. And they lived with one of his aunts at another time. And, like, he slept under the dining room table.
I can't.
And apparently, you know, some of one of his aunts, my mother told me that his aunts had said things like, oh, well, she shouldn't have had more children, talking about
his mother
because of
died,
her health.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like something, I mean, never said that to him.
Right,
but And my mother was, my mother's really smart, but my mother's smart in ways, you know, she's very good in math.
Right.
And in ways that girls weren't encouraged.
Right.
And, you know, the options open to women she's 85 years old. The options open to women at that time were you could be a teacher or a nurse.
Right,
and,
of course.
And
or
a
secretary.
You know, yeah. And
or
so,
a flight attendant.
You know, I'm wondering if she was a young person now, she wouldn't have had kids so soon.
Right,
she would have had a career.
How old were they when you were born?
My father was 37 and my mother was 30 when I was born.
Wow. Okay.
But you know, it was my grandmother. My mother had all these girlfriends who were, you know, getting married. And then there were 3 of them that weren't married. And one of them got married. And my grandmother said to my grandfather, well, that just leaves Sonny and Joan. And Joan has a career. Right, can you imagine? Like,
so, I did, you know, I told...
So it's like, how can you get some self-esteem with that?
Right. I have a cousin, and her mother-in-law, very right-wing. So anyway, the mother-in-law is like, why isn't Judith married? And she didn't know what to say, so she said, well, she's too tall, and, you know, she can't find a guy tall enough. And the woman fucking believed this.
Well, because that makes sense at that time.
It's just so fucking stupid that they would be okay with that, you know?
Right, well, then...
Okay.
So, anyway, you know, I wanted to be an actor, but I always had, like, this... You know, fucking self-doubt about everything.
Right.
It's been like this horrible thing
that's
for me
so
to overcome.
For a comedian and a Jew to have self-doubt.
Yeah.
So, but even though you were in the play and you were doing...
Right. And so I went to college and
I have to go back a little since this is the Pride episode. So you're in high school. You don't kiss anyone until you're a senior in high school.
The summer before. Yeah.
And you're in the play and around the gays...
Yeah, but nobody was out.
Right.
Okay. You know.
And were you, like, jerking off to, like, you know.
Everything.
Okay.
This is crazy. But my first summer home from college.
Right.
My summer job was working for a singing telegram company.
No way.
Yeah. And so it was a great job to have. It was better than, you know, flipping burgers or working filing in some office, but I drove all over Nassau and Suffolk County, like, you know, 6 gigs a night.
Right.
And I had to change costumes sometimes. So I would like run into like the Dunkin' Donuts and change in the bathroom.
Right.
And then I ran off on the Long Island Expressway. There's this a rest area where I changed in the car. And then I discovered that it was a gay place and I didn't know it. And the thing is, my typical costume was this white tie and tails with a white top hat. And so, like, of course, like, you're 19, 20 years old.
Right.
You're like, you know, you'll fuck anything that moves. And
That's changed a lot.
Right. And I would, like, after my gigs, I would stop there because it was, like, right before my exit. And I would go and, like, I'd walk into the woods and meet people. But I was wearing the fucking outfit.
No way. You were wearing the white tux.
Yeah. No one ever,
did
and no
ever
one ever
say?
Said anything.
No way. What did they think you were like? Lawrence
Welk. That's hilarious.
That's so funny. I just said Lawrence Welk. That makes sense.
That's Lawrence Welk. Not a Jew.
Not Jewish. And from a country that was not a big fan of the Jews.
Yeah.
That show became so Christian. Didn't it? At the end, they're like,
oh my God,
and
it's like snooze.
I know, but I loved watching it. Okay, so.
So when I went to Fashion, like, I didn't ever believe that. And I also discovered I didn't really want to act as much. I didn't like, I loved the camaraderie of it and, you know, putting on a show.
You just love being in that.
Right, but like the nuts and bolts of, you know, what's the author's intent and what's the director's vision and how do I move my hand this way?
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, I don't have the attention span.
Right, so. You did was Vassar your first choice?
It was because my parents didn't really know how to advise me. And my brother went to the University of Rochester to study engineering.
Oh, that's an excellent school.
Yeah, it was an excellent school. And so my parents said, oh, you should look at Rochester. And I'm like, well, and I didn't know what I wanted.
You know, your brother went to Rochester.
Yeah.
And it's not expensive.
It was expensive.
It was
really expensive.
Oh, sorry.
And so I just like, I had a bazillion college catalogs and I looked through all of these and I didn't really know what I was doing. And, so, you know, you plan the trips to go visit the different colleges.
Yes.
So
except for us,
the first trip was to go to Vassar. Cause I liked that it was small and I liked that it was close enough to home because if I would have gone farther away, I would have only been able to come home for Christmas. I would never have come home for anything. And my grandmother lived with us and I was very, very close to her. And I was the last one.
This is your mother's mother.
Yes. And I was the last one to leave home. So it was like, I didn't want to be that far away. And so my parents, I drove to Poughkeepsie, to Vassar. And I was feeling like a little car sick. And my parents were annoying me.
Right.
And so I just like, I said, okay, I'm going to apply early decision here. And if I don't get in, then we'll go visit some other places. I don't want to take a car ride 8 hours to Rochester in the car with them.
So because your parents were so fucking annoying, you went to Vassar's.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV. And I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration. That it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lova, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
You're at Vassar, and you're in the acting program. First of all, I didn't even know you could sing.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since I sang.
All right,
yeah.
I'll do one. Let's sing Havana Gila.
Havana Gila, Havana Gila, Havana Gila, Venus Maha.
Okay.
All right.
I'm glad you got out of the theater.
Thank you. Well, I'm more of a tenor, actually. You started
okay.
A little low.
Sorry. So you go through Vassar.
Yeah.
Get a degree in...
drama.
Do you join a frat?
They don't have them there.
Know,
they had something called like the Royal Order of the Moose,
right.
Which was a secret thing. And I don't really know. I never was invited, but there were like taxidermy animals all over the campus one day a year.
That's nice.
So
did you start dating girls, boy? Like what was going
on? I had a girlfriend.
Even that this is after you kissed the guy.
Yes.
At camp.
Right.
And this is after you're wearing the white tux and tails and getting blowjobs.
Yes, So then I had a girlfriend in college.
Wait, can you just tell me just one singing telegram story?
One singing telegram story. Well, I mean, they were all kind of blended together. I mean, sometimes I'd wear the top hat and tails, and sometimes I would be a singing gorilla, and sometimes I would
and
be
like
an Arabian Nights guy.
Did they write the stuff for you?
There were standard songs for every occasion, but the company was called Tailored Tunes, so you could pay extra and, you know, they would say, oh, you want to do a thing for Judy's birthday, tell us all about Judy, and they would write
a song. Oh, so they had people that...
Yeah, and then you'd have
to... Do they still have those?
I think so.
But now you do it on the fucking phone, which it must be...
Yeah, but it's not the same.
I know.
But I was in like...
Did you ever go and they're not there?
No, but I got invited to stay at people's weddings and anniversaries. And, you know, people
treated me
really well. Yeah, why not?
That's like when I was a toll collector in the Jersey Turnpike, and they'd be going to like the Garden State Art Center. and they give me a joint or something. I'm like, oh, you're going to that concert? Right.
Hilarious.
Did you continue the singing Telegram for years?
I did it for maybe two or three summers.
Okay.
You know, it was
just
a summer job, yeah.
So you graduate college.
I did.
And do you now, what's the story with your grandmother at this point and with you coming out? And how many boyfriends did you have? Did you have any? You're dating a girl in college.
Yes, Wendy.
Wendy.
She was lovely.
But you had no interest in having sex with her.
Well, we had sex.
I know, but did you have an interest in it? Like, what did you
well,
have
it was
to
nice.
Do? To,
yeah, it was fine. I mean, it wasn't like it was unpleasant.
Like,
it was just not really.
Would you get aroused?
Yeah.
See, I couldn't even get aroused with a guy. Like that, I am a Kinsey 6.
Yeah, I mean, I have no, like, I don't know that, I had sex with 5 different women.
What? Oh, my God.
I
can't believe this is the, you're not proud. What? Now, why do you think you had sex? Because I try to explain this to the young gays, that we felt like we had to try.
Yeah, because you want to try it. You want to make sure
but
that.
But straights never try to be gay.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't try to be poor either. You know,
that's
it
a
sucked.
Good line. I like that.
But I had sex with 3 women in college, 1 woman from the gym over the summer, and 1 woman after I moved to New York.
And Jews?
No, one was Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
one was Black, one was Asian. One was like this Italian sort of Jersey girl
right.
type, and one was a complete wasp.
So you ran the gamut.
Yeah, I know.
It's
like,
so
like a Benetton ad or something.
So, and any of them last longer than just, like, what was the longest relationship?
Like, I dated for like, you know, 1 year of college, I guess.
Wow. I guess. Do you think they were, did you say I love you and stuff like that?
I don't remember.
Do you think they remember? Do you ever talk to any of them?
Yes. I mean, one of them was my best friend all through college, and
okay.
that has just sort of happened.
Which one was that? The Black?
No.
Hispanic, Asian?
The Hispanic girl.
Uh-huh.
Woman. Sorry, Vass, you're supposed to say woman. You're not supposed to say girl. Oh, I can't believe. But although looking back, you know, when you're...
Right.
18, I was... Oh... You know Nancy Marchand, the actress who played Tony Soprano's mother?
Yes.
Okay, so she came...
No, that was... What's her name? Tony Soprano's mother was... What's her name?
Nancy
Olivia.
Marchand. No, Olivia was the name of the character.
Right.
But
it
Nancy Marchand
Nancy.
Is the actress.
It was?
Yeah. And she came to teach a
first of all...
A master's class at...
Marchand?
Yeah, Marchand.
I'm telling you, she... Hold on. Please hold. Blah, blah, blah. Ding, ding, ding. I mean...
She came to my college to teach this class. Some alumnus had given a grant.
First of all, she was brilliant in The Sopranos.
Hilarious.
Yes.
And...
Yep.
We had to do monologues in class, and I did this monologue from this play called As Is, which was an AIDS play.
Yes, I remember.
And I came and she like started giving me comments, and she gave me good comments, and I was like, oh, this is exciting. And then she goes, are you a homosexual? In front of the whole class. And you know,
because she didn't care.
Right. And these were all my friends who I'd been friends with for 4 years, and including my best friend and the girl
and
I was
the
dating.
Hispanic girl
the girl I was
funny.
Dating.
Right.
And I was just like, well, I've had some experiences.
You
and then I
that?
Slumped back to my seat and there was not a sound.
So what
there was not a sound in the room.
What did the girlfriend say? Or the ex-girlfriend? I don't know what.
She was very cool about it. She had a gay friend. But
right.
She was like, oh, I don't
right.
you know. It
was and
fun.
This is like, no, we have AIDS at this point.
Oh my God, did
yes,
people have AIDS? Yeah, it was like the height of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, this is the height of the AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
Okay, so... When do you decide no more girls? And in between the girls, are you going?
I had a boyfriend my senior year
of college.
He lived in the town. A friend
like
of
he wasn't a college
he,
person.
He was
a townie?
He was best friends with a friend of mine who was at Vassar, but they both come from Poughkeepsie, and he had, this guy had taken a year off from college and was living in Poughkeepsie. He lived in his grandmother's boarding house.
Oh.
And he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was...
how long was that?
That just, you know, like a semester or so until I graduated.
Right.
Yeah, he was... And everyone was fine.
And
you're
not out at all? Through college, are you out?
Well,
I mean,
see, at that time...
Your friends...
Well,
your parents don't know.
No. Oh, this is a this
yes,
is how my,
I want to get to that.
So my parents.
But and also the wait, I have to that second guessing grandma.
Oh yeah.
It there's a video.
Right. The story's better, but the video is
the video is fantastic. I mean, but the story is amazing.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'll tell you my parents.
All right, so
my,
we need to do your coming out story.
So.
And how old are you at this point?
So I was, it was right, it was one of the summers home from college. I can't remember.
Okay, so you're, this is.
Yeah, maybe it was, or maybe it was the summer after college. I couldn't remember.
Oh shit, I dropped his mic. Sorry.
It's okay, I just hold it in front of my mouth here
yeah.
because I can't be trusted to stay close to it.
Okay.
So I, you know, once I went to college, I had friends from all over the country, which I never had before.
Right.
And you know, it's not like now where you could just call anyone anywhere for the same amount of money. So if you
call
Colorado, it's, you know, $2 for the first 3 minutes
right.
and then,
oh,
you know,
so
a dollar
expensive.
For the...
That's why when I was on the road and I couldn't make any phone calls.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and when I was in college, my mother sends me in the mail a 3-minute egg timer so that I shouldn't talk too long on the
no
phone.
No way.
Yeah. So the only time I ever used it was when I talked to her. Like, oh my, sorry, I gotta go. It's almost time. And so I had, you know, friends from, you know, and I wasn't used to really worrying about the phone call
right.
because all my friends were local. So when I got home from college, I was calling people in Kansas and Michigan. Oh, that's my fucking phone. I thought it was off. Do we have to answer it or just let it bleed?
No,
it
just
so, so this was at the time when the phone sex lines were first
started. Yes.
So,
I had a roommate.
So I called one of them.
Yes.
And I was home for the summer working.
And they were expensive.
Yeah. I was home for the summer working and.
This is your after your senior year? Maybe junior, all right, whatever.
No, it was after my senior year. Yeah,
okay.
Definitely. And I was working my summer jobs and I would get home before my parents and I would get the mail, and the phone bill came, and I thought, you know what? I bet I spent like $1 million on the phone. So I opened it up, and the call to the sex line is on there. Like, you know, it was cost like $10 for the man-to-man line.
No way.
And my mother is super organized. She like go over everything with a fine tune comb to make sure a fine tooth comb. So I was like, oh no. So I hid it in my room. And I thought I'll just pay it and, you know, tell her, oh, I overcharged and I didn't want you to pay. And I forgot about it. And my mother is so super organized. She goes, you know, we didn't get a phone bill.
And
she called them up and got them to send a new one.
Oh, fuck. And
so I had to tell them before the phone bill came.
So, all right. So let's do that scene. Okay.
Let's do that scene.
Yeah. You know what, Eddie? I just realized we never got a phone bill. Morris.
I don't know.
Morris, have you seen the phone bill?
Have
you seen the phone bill?
And I just said, I don't know. And then, like, the next day,
you're not even doing the
I don't know. There was no scene.
Okay,
it was
fine.
I'm calling them right now. It was just stress in my mind, obsessing,
right, so
like, freaking
night,
out,
oh
freaking
God,
out, freaking out.
She's going to see it, right?
Yeah. So I took my mother. It must have taken like an hour to get it out.
So where were you?
We were at our house, and I
was your father, Morris, there.
I came out to them both separately, but the same day.
Okay, so
I took my mother. And we ended up going for a walk, and I couldn't. I just couldn't get it out. I was just silent.
Did she know?
She must have known. You know, and I told her. And
how'd you say it?
I told her I'm gay, and I told my father. And the first thing both of them said was, you know, your father's really going to be upset about this.
Your mother's going to be upset.
You know, it was completely fine.
Right.
But then I told them some story about this guy that my cousin had run into with me who was gay, and my cousin knew he was gay, and his name was Luigi. Mm-hmm. And my mother was like, Luigi!
Wait, did anyone else gay in your family?
Not that I knew of, although my grandmother's sister, pretty obvious now. She was 75 years old. She was never married. She was proud that she was a virgin. She was like this little chunky, bossy Aunt Giddy. Hilarious.
Don't forget to tune in next week to Just Kill Me Now.
Just Kill Me.
Oh. Don't forget to turn... for part two on Just Kill Me...
No, it's not. It's just
Kill Me.
Now.
No, Judy Gold's Just Kill Me.
Just
Kill Me Now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.